He didn't think back about how things were, and he was kind of wondering why in the world what all this was happening. Yet he would not sin against God, the Bible says.
Right.
He would not turn against God, you see.
Right.
I want to tell you right now, there's no reason for a Christian to turn against God. If you're a true Christian, if you have the Holy Ghost of God, and if you don't have the Holy Ghost of God in the Spirit of Christ, then you're not of His anyway. You're not a child of God. You're religious, and you're lost, and you've been saved. But if you're a child of God, you have God's Spirit in you, and there's no place to turn back.
Amen.
Right. And God won't let you either. I guarantee you. You might try to, but He'll go in and along, and He'll work on you, and He'll help you. Amen. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said He wouldn't, and He won't.
Amen.
He won't. Right. He won't do it now. Amen. Amen. I read Brother Lewis Arnold's book, The Way Things Used to Be. How many of y'all read that? That's a good book, The Way Things Used to Be. He said one thing in there. He said he remembered when his mother washed on a scrub board. I do mine too. And he said there was selling wooden washing machines. And they bought one and they put it together right there for them right there at the house. They had them back and they put it together. And, you know, we got one just like that, a wooden washing machine. My wife, she bought it at an antique shop some years ago. And the thing's, it's wood and it's lined with metal and it will hold water and it's got a crank on the side. And when you crank it, it's got gears inside there, and it's got an agitator and paddles, you know, and then you just turn the thing, boy. But I imagine you get some clothes in there, it's probably hard to turn it, you know. Just water in there wouldn't be bad, but a wooden washing machine. And I told him here a while back, I said, you know, you spoke of that wooden washing machine. Yeah, he said. I said, well, my wife's got one of those. Sure happens. Oh, he spoke of a lot of things in there. Old Dr. Arnold, boy, seen a lot of changes. And from the way things used to be, and the way things are now. Amen. But I got to thinking about that book, but really today I want us to see not the way things used to be, but the way things used to be with me. The way things used to be with me. Amen. I guarantee you, a lot of changes in me.
Amen.
Well, from way back, so going on 36 years ago since I've been saved,
yeah.
And a lot of things have changed. I guarantee you, in my life, and most of them changed immediately. And sometimes it has to change progressively. Some things, you know, you get more concerned about things that you weren't concerned about even when you first got saved.
Right.
Really. But then as you grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, then you get more concern, more compassion about you, more control about you than what you had when you first got saved.
Right.
You do now. Amen. So what you do, you learn how to submit to God. And you learn how to walk with faith, not with sight. And the Bible says that the just shall walk by his faith.
Right.
We're to walk by our faith. Amen. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I believe that.
Right.
I do. I really believe that with all my heart. Exercise that God-given faith that comes from here, from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. From your studies, from the preaching, from the teaching, and the Word of God. You left this message up this morning and left it up. Don't get your mind on something at home or something that's going to hill of beans. But
right.
You throw a mind on this message this morning and left it up like a cat left milk up. And I'll guarantee you it'll increase your faith.
Amen.
You go home today with a greater faith.
Right.
I believe a lot of people don't come back to church on Sunday evening. They don't get anything Sunday morning.
Right.
Amen. They don't get what they need Sunday morning. If they got what they're supposed to have got Sunday morning, then they had faith. They wouldn't have no problem coming back Sunday evening. What big deal coming back for church on Sunday evening? That's a big deal, isn't it? Many of you don't drive. Some of you drive by the way. Many of you don't drive over 4 or 5 miles. So it's not a long drive, is it?
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's not at all.
Nope.
And to come back for an hour and a half church service, we start at 6 o'clock. And you know, what be done at 7:30.
Yeah.
If it's summertime, it'll be dark for another 3 hours.
That's right.
And so that shouldn't be hard. Your faith will take care of that. It will. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir,
so I want us to see the way things used to be with me. Number one, with me, there was no conviction at all.
Right.
I had no conviction at all. I don't think I had any convictions. Period. I really don't. I mean, I could do things and it didn't bother me. I could gamble. I could sit down in a poker game, play poker, and it didn't bother me to gamble, lose my money, or win somebody else's money. Matter of fact, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to win somebody else's money.
Right.
I didn't want to lose my money. I want to win their money.
Right.
That didn't bother me to drink a bottle of liquor. Didn't bother me at all to drink liquor. I had no convictions about that. I wasn't convicted about that. I can turn it up and drink it, didn't bother me at all. Well, it had no conviction. It had no conviction about cursing.
Right.
It didn't bother me at all. Lord, I worked at the Ford Motor Company, and when I got saved, I went in, and the men just looked at me like I was crazy because I hadn't cursed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, at any time, I'd curse a man out for not doing his job properly and sending me bad work. And I had no convictions about it. None whatever. You see, you have no conviction where there's no convictor.
Right, that's right.
Amen? Yeah. You have to have the convictor.
Yes.
Until you get the convictor in you, you have no convictions.
That's right.
Amen? By the same right token, you have no comfort until you get the comforter in you.
Yeah.
Do you get the Holy Ghost in you? He's the comforter.
Amen.
He's the one that comforts you. Something else, you have no control either. You're out of control until you get saved.
Yeah.
Do you get the Spirit of God living in you? You're out of control, amen. I mean, you can just simply do one thing or just act to do one thing as another any time when you're without Christ because you're your old carnal nature.
It's
always running rampant.
Yeah.
Amen. But once you get the blessed Spirit of Christ in you through repentance and faith, repentance toward God and faith toward Christ, I'll guarantee you there's control. You just don't do everything in the world, anything that comes in your little finite mind.
Right.
You've got a controller in you now. And he controls you. And people just go right on and do anything he wants to do, any wicked thing he wants to think to be Christian. I doubt very seriously they've ever been saved.
You're right, Christian.
And when you die, honey, you'll go to hell.
Right.
You'll go to hell with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You're right. You'll die and go to the dark abyss.
Right.
There you'll be for eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Truth. God help us today, but there was no conviction. There was no conviction in heaven. Amen. Romans 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Right.
You see, so there's no conviction there. The Word of God is what convicts us. Amen. And the Word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was God, John said.
Amen.
So the Word of God is God. And the Word of God is what does convict you. And when you have that old carnal mind, you have that old spirit's dead and sin, there's no conviction there at all. You have the convictor. But once you get that convictor, you can't do those things again now that you did before. You can't do them.
No, sir.
Amen. Then also I find there was no connection with me either. There's no connection at all. No connection with heaven. The way things used to be with me, there was no connection. Boy, you have to have that connection. You have to have, for the power, you have to have it.
Right.
Amen. I mean, if you're going to run a vacuum cleaner in this building, you've got to plug that thing in one of the outlets over here. And then you connect up with the juice, we used to call it. You connect up with the power.
Right.
Amen. Then you have a power flow. And until you get saved, you have no power flow from heaven. The Bible says we know that God hears not a sinner's prayer.
Right.
But he that doeth the will of God, him he heareth.
Right.
Well, you're not going to want to do the will of God if you don't have the Spirit of God in you.
That's right.
Amen? That's right.
Right.
That's exactly right. And then you're connected up with heaven. You have that power flow. Mm-hmm. You never had that before you got saved.
Right.
But you got it now. You couldn't even pray before you got saved. God hears not a sinner's prayer.
Right.
Amen. No way you can pray is through Jesus.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. You that are praying and not praying in Jesus' name and ending in Jesus' name are praying wrong. I'm going to tell every one of you.
Amen.
When you just go to the Lord in prayer and you never mention Jesus' name, your prayer will get off the floor.
That's right. Right. Amen.
In Jesus' name I go to the Lord. In Jesus' name I close my prayer.
Right. Amen.
That's the way you need to pray. Amen. That's the Bible way of praying.
Amen.
There's a Bible way for doing everything. And when it's not the Bible, it's the wrong way.
Amen.
There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof the ways of death.
Amen.
It's God's way or no way.
Amen.
Amen. God's way or no way at all. So there was no connection with me back then. I had no connection with heaven whatever.
Right.
But boy, the moment I got saved, though, praise God, things changed. It picked up around home. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I have a connection with heaven. What a blessing that is. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. There's a connection. One mediator between God and men, between earth and heaven. The man, Christ Jesus. That's the connection.
Yeah.
That's the power flow. You've got to have that power flow now to get anything done at all. You've got to have that power. You've got to do it through Christ. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ who strengthens me. So it's got to be through Jesus and Him alone. Amen?
Amen.
And He has to have the praise, too.
Sure he does.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all unto the glory of God. So that power flow enables you and I to do the things that God wants us to do for His honor and glory.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. And then we're to give Him all the praise and honor and glory for
it. Right.
Amen. I said there was no conviction, no connection. And I found also there was no correction.
That's good.
There was no correction at all with me. Amen. None at all. I'm telling you, I had no correction.
Mm-hmm. No.
I just did anything and everything. It was corrected.
Amen.
I mean, just mind just went wild all the time. Like a lot of children today in homes today, they see.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Just do anything you want to do.
Yep.
Just tired of Jack.
Right.
I want to tell you something. When I was a boy, when we went into one of our my grandmother's house and my aunt and uncle's, we sit down and never moved.
Amen.
We played on the outside.
Right.
On a grapevine swing or something we could find, maybe an old stick to ride like a horse, stick horse. We went in the house, we didn't play in the house.
No.
We didn't run and tear the house apart.
Amen.
I have a hard time, my grandchildren, I tell my son, look, you're not going to come over here and tear my house apart. I'm not going to put up with this. I work too blasted hard to have a house, a home, to let you big youngins try to rip and tear all the thing apart.
Right.
I'm not going to put up with it.
Amen.
I've never seen such in my life out of children today.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That goes down to one thing, they're not getting the corrective rod applied to them, why don't they have it? I've been taught. I knew better to open my mouth when I was a boy. And I raised my children like that. When I went by one of my friends' houses, and even I did stop and still, my two sons and my daughter would sit down and they didn't move.
Right.
And when they moved, Sean, come over and they said, come over and they go, Danny, can we walk outside? They didn't just take off, whee! They kicked their legs up, turned the horse of the house apart.
Amen.
Run good like a bunch of young colts in a pasture.
Right.
There's no corrective rod being applied, I'm telling you right now.
Amen.
That's why we were so rotten and rebellious when we were lost. There was no correct, no rod of correction.
Amen.
There was no connection with heaven.
Right.
We had no rod of correction from heaven.
Right.
Boy, once you get saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to Jesus.
Amen.
I guarantee you can apply the rod of correction to you when it's needed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I learned that quick like.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I was not my own anymore, buddy.
Amen.
I belong to Him. Now, I said one time, I said, people leave me in church. My wife said, you know, they don't have to go to church. I said, what do you mean? People have to go to church, too. If you're saved, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God.
Right.
Amen.
You have to go to church.
Amen.
It's not if you want to. I'm not going to say well now, if you feel like that when you come right home, if you don't, just stay home, honey, that'd be all right. No, you come to the house of God. That's where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. God established the local Bible-believing, preaching, teaching, New Testament church for His children.
Right.
He expects them to be there when that door is open.
Amen.
Amen. And if you know it, He'll apply that rod of correction to you. Now, He will. I'm telling you. I don't want to see that happen, but He'll do it.
Right. Sure.
If you're His. Now, that's a good evidence.
Mm-hmm.
If it's never applied to you, and He's safe to say you don't belong to God.
Right.
He doesn't whip the devil's children.
No, sir.
I don't whip my child. I don't whip your child. You don't whip mine. You don't whip mine. We take care of our own children. That's what it's supposed to be. And I'll guarantee you our Heavenly Father takes care of His children.
Amen.
He doesn't whip the devil's children. He doesn't. He does not. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you a scripture there on that line of thought. In Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. And look at verse 5 when you get there. We're preaching on the way things used to be with me. Look at verse 5. 12, verse 5. Ye have forgotten, he said, the exhortation. When speaking this to the encouragement. Oh, God has a way of encouraging us, doesn't He? Huh? Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That word scourge means to whip. It's a whip. He said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. If you be without it, he said, then are ye bastards and not sons. Read it there. That's a Bible word. That word simply means a fatherless child. You never were his to begin with. He's not your father. You're not his child. If you be without chastisement, you can go and kick your feet up in the air like a young colt springtime. Do anything you want to do, there's no correction, there's no connection, and there's no chastisement, then you're not his. You're still a child of the devil. You're still a child of the world. You're going to die and go to hell when you die. I tell you right now, if that's you, you better get right with God.
Amen.
I don't know if there's anybody here like that this morning, but if that's you, you better get right with God. You ain't so dumb that you can't see it.
Right.
I know you're not that dumb.
Right.
Amen. I pray to God right now to let you know that you need to get saved. Get right with God and start living for the Lord. So the way things used to be with me, you know, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not. Thank God I'm not. I know I've got a few reasons here why I know I'm not the man I used to be. I can give you a dozen. I give you 20. I give you 50 reasons why that I know that I'm not the man I used to be. But number one, I'm not the man I used to be because I've been rejected by the world. Jesus said the world loves its own. He said if you were the world would love you. The world don't love me, buddy. I've been rejected of the world.
Right.
The world rejected me a long time ago.
Amen.
They quit coming around me. My old drinking buddies quit coming around me. I had a few that got kind of know me and they got around me too close and they got saved.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But most of them just completely abandoned me and stayed away from me. Even a lot of my old family stayed away from me. I've got a brother-in-law that never comes to my home because he can't drink no beer. Amen. I've been rejected by the world.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Boy, that's the good evidence you'll find, Brother Tom, is when you're rejected by the world.
Amen.
That's the good evidence of your salvation.
Sure.
Now, my dear friend, you need some evidences of your salvation today.
Right.
Those evidences are what they call fruits in the Bible. They're fruits. It's proof that you certainly had a change in you. Amen. That spiritual change. The Holy Ghost has set up residence inside of you and has changed everything around. Because he now owns you. The devil don't own you anymore. And the devil is not going to, he's not going to collect the rent anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost will collect the rent now. He owns the place.
Amen.
Amen. He owns that tabernacle of yours. Number two, not only have I been rejected by the world, but I've been inspected by the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I've been inspected by the Spirit, and I am the proven produce of heaven. Amen. Spiritual produce. That's right. I guarantee you, buddy, he not only convicts you and converts you, but he inspects you to make sure you're the real thing.
Yeah.
Amen. The Holy Ghost does that. Praise God. He inspected me, and he said he'll do it, Lord. Amen. The Bible says no man can come to the Father. Jesus said no man can come to me except the Father will send me to draw him.
Right.
Amen. That's the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been inspected by the Spirit. Then I've been infected by God's love.
Oh, yeah.
I have been infected by God's love.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm telling you right now, somebody says something wrong with him. Something wrong with her. They're not right. They're not the person I used to know. That's because they've been infected by the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like a virus, amen? Oh, it's a good virus.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. We've all been in touch with the virus this winter, haven't we?
Amen.
Every one of us has. But that love of God never wears out. It never wears thin. It's right there. It's got to be right there because it's God. God is love. He dwelt in God, dwelt in love.
Right,
God is
right.
Love, John said. And so you get infected with the love of God.
Amen.
Every part of your body gets infected with the love of God. You begin to love things you never loved before. Boy, I love the church. I do. I love to come to the house of God. I love the preacher brethren that God has given me. And I know more preachers. I know as many preachers as any preacher in the country knows.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all over the United States and missionaries abroad, I know so many preachers. Amen. And they're all good friends of mine. Most of them are real good friends of mine. Amen. That's the love of God.
Yes,
it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which giveth it to us. Amen.
Yeah.
And what a blessing that is to be infected by God's love. You get God's love in you, and you're getting all infected with it. Amen?
Yeah.
And buddy, I mean, you just have a love for everything.
Amen. God, very different.
And for God's people, mm-hmm. and for lost, hell-bound sinners, you get a love for them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Right. You do. You get a love for, not for their sins, but you get a love for them.
Right. Right.
For the lost souls. You do. Amen. Amen. That's why it tickles you to death to see somebody get saved. Because you're infected with the love of God. It thrills God to see somebody get saved. The Bible said that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents down here.
Right.
Amen. What about that? That's God's love.
Amen.
And it never stops working. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing that is to think about that. I'm glad I've been infected by God's love. And then thank God one day I'll be ejected at heaven's gates.
Amen.
Oh boy, I tell you, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Amen.
I am. I really am. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I mean, I don't have a desire to die right now. That's human nature. You don't. But I know that when I have to die, I'll be glad.
Yes, sir.
I know, because God's grace will kick in. And just as God gives us grace to get saved by, He gives us grace to live by, to love one another by, and He'll give us that dying grace to leave by. When we get ready to leave this life, I guarantee you, we're going down here, I mean, everything's going to change in us. Amen? The grace of God will kick in. Even before we take our last breath, I believe, Brother Tom, we'll be ready to go. We'll be glad we're going. Amen. Because we're having we'll be entering into an altogether different state of thinking.
Right.
Amen. When we get ready to leave.
Amen.
I remember old Brother Henry Martin. Remember my church? He's been gone now 25 years at least, longer than that, probably about 26 years. And I remember when he was on his deathbed, and I went to visit him down here in Baptist East, where he died. And he said, I remember the words he said, and my wife was there, she'll tell you, she'll bear witness to it. He said, Arnold, he said, I'm not afraid to go. He said, I'm looking forward to going. I'm ready to go. He said, Arnold, I got a glimpse of heaven a little while ago.
Amen.
He said, Arnold, God opened heaven up to me. I tell you, he said, I saw myself, and this is a funny word, but he said, I saw myself 10 million years from now. Now, why said it like that? That's what he said. Kill people when they're getting ready to leave. Christians, when they get ready to leave and go to be with the Lord, they say funny things. They do. I've got a book on dying words and saints, and they say some of the most peculiar things when they're getting ready to leave. Amen. James Walker said his sister was getting ready to leave, and said he was there at the hospital with her and her last moments of life. And since she said, James, he said, yes, sis, what is it? She said, do you hear that singing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the prettiest singing I've ever heard in my life, James.
Yeah.
He didn't hear anything. He said she had to be hearing singing from heaven.
All right.
Amen. Oh, what a blessing that is.
Amen.
Sure. I tell you, to be ejected from earth.
Yeah.
I thought about these jet flyers, and I've read some about how they eject when they have to eject when they get hit over enemy territory or something, and they have to eject. And when they eject, they go straight up.
Yeah.
They go straight up.
Oh, yeah.
And they get up so high, and then that shoe come out. Go back down. Now, that's where we're going to go. We're going straight up.
We got some shoes, though.
That's right. We're going to go straight up. We're going to keep right on going.
That's right.
We're going to check out the bottle. Quicker than they went out. They go out pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'm recording this. I believe we'll be ejected out of this bottle.
Yes,
sir. Amen. I've seen people eject out. I've watched them eject out.
Mm-hmm.
I have. And I often wonder, I told my talk to my wife on that. Someone just died I've been with, and I said, you know what, everybody I'm with, when they die, their mouth flies open. I wonder if the spirit comes out of the mouth. Something to think about, isn't it?
Amen.
It does. Easily. When the spirit comes out of the mouth. Well, however it comes out, it comes out.
Amen.
And it's ejected out. And you're ejected to heaven. Or you're projected to hell.
Right.
One way or the other you're going. I'm telling you right now. I like to argue people die.
That's right.
That's an ignorant argument. As many people we have died, and we died for 29 seconds, they say.
Right.
And I don't have to prove that. You'll die. Everybody here will die one day.
Amen.
If you lack Christ, you go to hell. If you have Christ your Savior, you go to heaven.
Right.
But there is coming a time when you'll be ejected from this earthly tabernacle. Amen.
Amen.
It's appointed for man once to die.
Right.
The Bible says. But after that, the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment today? Has things changed in your life? Amen. Can you think back the way things used to be with you? Can you think back the way that you used to drink maybe a little liquor, a curse, do a little gambling, a little swearing, different things, and then all of a sudden you turn from your sins to Christ?
Yes, sir.
And things change drastically. You have a drastic change. You get saved, you have a drastic change.
Oh, yeah.
I say some things are instantaneous. Things you repent of, know what I think. They do.
Amen.
Things that you know that are wicked and a Christian shouldn't do.
All right. Amen.
Right.
They know what I think.
Sure do.
You get saved.
Yes, sir.
They do now.
Oh, yeah.
And if it isn't, then you don't repent.
Right. Amen.
That's right. Absolutely. Now, there might be some things in your life that you never thought was bad. And maybe they weren't all that bad, but you didn't repent of it. That won't keep you from getting saved. God will work them out later. That's a progressive thing. A fleshly thing. God will take care of that. Things you know in your heart. If I would ask one, if I would ask a lost person that, say, what do you think is going to keep you from heaven? Well, drinking, a liquor, cursing, gambling, pornography, adultery, fornication, those things.
Yeah.
And you repent of those.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You repent of those. When you go to the Lord, you turn your back on those.
Right.
I'm not going to live like this any longer. I want to get saved.
Yeah.
When you make your mind up that you want to turn from those things,
yes, sir.
You turn from them and you turn toward God.
Amen.
Put your faith in Christ. He'll save you. And He'll change you completely right there.
Very well.
He will.
Yes, sir.
You've got to make business with God.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
You can't travel with God.
Nope.
He knows your heart. He knows your every thought and intent of your heart.
Amen.
He knows where you're genuine. Now, you're not going to fool God.
No, sir.
You're not going to talk to an altar and fool God.
Amen.
In the back of your mind, you know you're going to keep right on whoring around or committing adultery or been an adulterer.
Right.
Or a womanizer.
Yeah.
Or a drunkard.
Right.
Or a cursor. You think you're going to keep that stuff in the back of your head? Come to the Holy God and fool Him? You can't fool God?
No way.
Amen.
True repentance, buddy, is the only thing that gets you to heaven.
Amen.
God's the only one knows whether the true repentance is taking place or not.
Amen.
If it's taking place, as soon as that takes place, your faith is in Christ, you're saved.
That's it.
Forever.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You change. Mama. You don't just keep going in that, I don't mean that stuff.
Right.
Get saved.
That's right.
And it's sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
It's sealed. Sure. It is sealed up.
Yes.
By the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, the Bible says. There ain't anything to break that seal.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the message. Bless God.